Welcome to the Next Level You podcast. In today's episode, I have a special guest as we talk about the ego, what is the ego, and how it is ruling our life. So stay tuned. Hi, I'm your host, Jamie Lang, and welcome to the Next Level You. Inside this podcast, we dive deep into the inner workings of your mind, how to elevate your life, the necessary subconscious reprogramming to the undeniable laws of success and the tools, techniques, steps, and lessons I have learned in my 25-year journey of inner growth and development. You can expect hard truths and honest conversations about what it takes to uplevel your life and step into the best version of yourself. Join me on this journey in creating your best life. Ready to become that next level you? Let's begin. Hello and welcome everyone to today's episode of the Next Level You podcast. I am your host, Jamie Lang, and it is great to be here with you today. I have my very first guest appearance happening today, and I'm so excited. This person is a soul empowerment coach and someone that I have known, I don't even want to say how long because it'll show how old we are, but for over four decades. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago in my own journey that I was watching what she was doing on Instagram, and I was sort of feeling really blocked in my own progression. I was taking all this action, but I felt that something was blocking me within me. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to express it. I didn't know how to explain it. And I was watching what Cherie was doing online, and I was really curious. And after having a discussion with her, I was able to uncover these blocks and also have an understanding of the different layers of consciousness, but also this thing called ego. Now, before we dive into today's episode on what is ego and how that is stopping us, or how it can stop us in our journey, first of all, I would love to introduce a lifelong friend and also a soul empowerment coach, an energy healer, a consciousness coach, Cherie Abella. Now, her passion and talent lies in guiding women on a holistic level to connect to their inner wisdom, unveil their purpose, and develop an inner awareness and confidence so that they can live an empowered life from their truest self. It is with absolute great pleasure to introduce Cherie Abella. Cherie, have I got you there?
You have. Thanks for having me. It's super exciting.
Thank you for being here. It is really exciting having you as my first guest. You know, I'm really honored that you said yes. Now, we're going to jump into the journey that it's taken to get to this point where we are recording, but that is to come in the episode. But first of all, as I said, and as I mentioned, I was really struggling with something that I had no idea was even stopping me. Can you share with everyone, first of all, what is ego? What do we mean by ego, and how does that stop us?
Okay, wow, straight into it. Thanks, Jamie. The ego is a really complex topic, but let's just dive into best way that I can explain it that's quite simple and relatable. So I guess if you are somebody that hasn't been on the journey of self-development, you may associate the word ego with someone who thinks that they're great or God's gift to humanity. Mm. Now, the ego that we're talking about is basically our identification of self. Yes, we all have an ego. Basically, the ego is our sense of self, as in what we think about ourselves, who we think we are, and even our beliefs about who we need to be to receive love and acceptance. Wow. And that's a big one.
Wow.
Because we all want love and acceptance, right?
Yeah.
So ultimately, its number one job is to keep us alive, surviving, and safe. Let's just look at our mind for a moment. So ultimately, our subconscious mind directs our conscious mind by recalling past events, situations, and memories to ensure we avoid further hurt, pain, and suffering. So ego's intention is inherently good, right? It wants to protect you and keep you safe from further suffering. However, it's not always appropriate.
Okay, great. So would you be able to explain in a real life scenario then what the ego is in terms of how, I guess, it's developed or how it can show up for us?
Okay, absolutely. Well, a great way that I love to explain it to my clients is showing them an example of how it's actually created. So let's have a scenario where there is a seven-year-old boy. He falls over and he hurts himself and he naturally begins to cry. His father comes running over and tells him, hop up, big boys, don't cry. Be a brave boy, you're strong, up you get. He stands up and unconsciously thinks, oh, okay, it's not brave for me to cry. Boys don't cry. Ah, okay, so he locks away and freezes within his energetic body or subconscious mind his vulnerability and his self-expression, because he's not to express that because he's been told by an adult that that's not the right thing to do. So it's basically locked away, subconscious mind. He's created his ego. I like to call it the treasure chest of wounds.
Oh, I
love
that.
So that gets packaged into his little treasure chest, nicely away, all his vulnerability, all his self-expression. And he creates this ego self, so this identification that now when he shows up in his life, he'll go through life in relationships that will be attracted to him where he isn't vulnerable and he doesn't express himself. So he might find himself in conversations with his partners where they will express, you never cry or you never express yourself or show vulnerability to me. So he's self-sabotaging relationships continuously, unknowingly, unconsciously, because he doesn't feel safe to express himself and cry because he was told, boys don't cry, be brave. So he's denied and suppressed and shut down that part of self, and it plays out in his life because, yeah, he doesn't express himself or be vulnerable in life.
Yeah.
So he would self-sabotage a lot of things in his life, and that part of self is still within his system and running the show on autopilot because it's just the way that he continued to show up in life.
Yeah, right. So sorry to cut you off there. I've just got chills in that treasure chest of wounds, and it's like, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, like you said, when something happens and then you go, oh, okay, well, that's inappropriate to act that way or behave that way or respond that way or have that emotion. And so you're holding that part of yourself back, and that plays out in all different areas of your life as you're growing up and as you're, you know, maturing and into your adult years, which may or may not be appropriate at that point from such a young age when it was created.
Correct. Absolutely. So basically, you know, we cannot evolve if we're bound by conditionings of our past.
Mm.
Our past doesn't equal the future in every situation. And to experience more true empowerment, we need to be awake and aware of what our subconscious mind or our ego mind is recalling to ensure it's suitable and rationable and it's not driven by fears from past experiences. So it can come out in many different ways. And, you know, a really big fear that someone may have that plays out, you know, the ego plays out, is fear of greatness. And this might be something that maybe your listeners and women in business would experience. And I guess it's, you know, it's not often, it's the least discussed, because who fears greatness, right?
Do you want to expand on that a little bit? I mean, that I think that's a really great one to, I guess, you know, dive into a little bit deeper. How would that potentially have been, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but how potentially would that have been created, having that fear of greatness, and how could that show up in someone's life as an adult?
Yeah, okay, perfect. So fear of greatness ultimately would come down to a feeling of somewhere where you haven't felt good enough when you were younger. So I'll speak from a personal experience. When I was younger, maybe about 10 years old, I recall my father, an event that happened, because this is what happens. It comes from an event that you recall that you've experienced in the past. I used to be really terrible at maths, struggled all through school at maths, and my father was brilliant at it. And I just recall him always yelling at me when I was doing maths homework, and saying, why don't you get this? I just don't understand. Everything else you can do, but this, you just can't get. There's a formula and answer, Sheree. So at that time, I've made that event mean to me that I'm stupid, that I'm not good enough, that Dad doesn't love me. So I start to create this ego self-protection that comes out as, oh, okay, I never want to feel those emotions again. I don't want to feel stupid. I don't want to feel not good enough. So how does that play out in my life as an adult or throughout my whole life and hold me back? Okay, she seeks external validation. She procrastinates. She self-sabotages because let's look at it from a business perspective. If I'm stating to create a business, but I've got this energetic block within me saying that I'm stupid and I'm not good enough, even though it has not come innately from me, because we are not our ego, we are a soul, and a true essence is neutral and all loving, and we deserve everything that we desire. The ego would tell us otherwise. Because it's protection, yeah? Mm. And it seeks validation. It wants to stay there. It wants to stay alive and kicking, right?
Mm.
So say I want to start my own business and I've got an energetic block unconsciously that I feel not good enough. If I'm going to launch a business and I've unknowingly got this block running my show, I'm going to come up with procrastination. I'm going to come up with self-sabotaging ways and excuses not to start this business that are ultimately going to prevent me and hold me back from living a life that I truly desire and are ultimately passionate and excited to do, because that's my desire and coming from my truest self and my highest potential. But the sabotaging ways of the ego, I'm going to start telling myself, who's to say you can do this? You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're going to get judged. So that part of ourself that we identify so strongly with takes a grip and takes over our desire of something that we so innately really want to do and know we can achieve. It stops us in our tracks because it's energetically in our system. And unless we go back and revisit the unconscious ways that are basically playing on autopilot in our life, in every facet, in every way, in everything that we do, we will never move forward.
Yeah. So that, like in that example there that you've shared with your personal story, so that it all is coming from like how you're feeling as an adult in starting a business, could come from that experience as a child of just being questioned of like, why can't you get this mathematical equation, for example? Is it a matter of, like you said, you know, as an adult, until we become conscious and we bring it to the conscious, these energetic blocks or these, you know, perhaps even classified self-limiting beliefs, but coming from like from an energetic perspective, do we need to go back and identify those situations or those experiences, or is it just a matter of going, oh, I was always told this, or oh yeah, I remember being told that or experiencing that? Like, do you need to go back and remember those experiences, or can you just like have an overall branch of, oh yeah, I was always told that?
Good question. Well, basically that becomes a belief. So when we are told something from a young age, from a trusted adult, that we take as truth, we then start creating a story around what we believe to be true based on somebody else's assumption or perception. The way that I like to look at this through my coaching method is what we call soul imprints. So basically we will look at an event or a situation that's happened in your life, and it will generally be anything from 0 to 7 years in those early years where we develop our ego self and a lot of our limiting beliefs. So when you go back to an event or a situation, as the example that I showed you when I was young with my maths example with my father, we can recall an event and a memory, and the emotional charge that it has in your body as your adult self now, if it's a really high emotional charge and you feel it really strongly, the more energetic block it has over you as your adult self. So if you're really feeling that, you can then ask yourself, okay, I experienced A as a child. Let's say my father left when I was 5. Okay, where are you feeling that in your body right now? And out of 0 to 10, how would you rate that? So generally, if it's about a 7+, it's highly charged. So it's likely to be impacting your adult self and the way that you show up in your life. And what you then look at is, what did you make that mean to you? And that is one really powerful question in itself, because when you're 8, you're just a young little kid and you've just witnessed mum leave. Okay. So what did I make that mean to me? I made that mean that she doesn't love me. I made that mean that people leave. I can't trust people. And it brings up big abandonment issues and feeling unloved and unwanted. So that's not a nice space to feel. So do we need to go back and look at where this comes from? I would say yes, because we need to go back and revisit these unhealed parts of ourselves in order to bring us back to our true wholeness. Because we don't want to deny or shame these parts of us that we've hidden. We want to bring them to the light because they're there to be witnessed. And the minute that we surround them with loving attention and bring them back to the light within us, in our wholeness, they start to dissolve energetically in the body.
That's just so beautiful. Right? And I know that, I haven't shared this on the podcast. And I know that your story then wasn't a reflection of my personal story, but that was absolutely very much a mirror of my own life, you know, having my biological father leave when I was 6 months old. And then I had a father figure from 18 months of age till when I was 26, who then decided he didn't want to be in my life anymore. And just recently I've had another father figure that was in my life for 28 years that's no longer in my life. And it's just, even now, and I have done this, I've done this work, and I continue. It's not just a one and done thing, and you continue to But mm-hmm. when you and I first started doing this work, I think it was about maybe 5 years ago now, you know, that was something that I guess I hadn't healed. And I love that it's an unhealed part of you. And absolutely, for me, that was showing up in my life as a fear of, if I can relate it to my business, in putting myself out there, because I had that fear of not being accepted, of being judged, of, mm-hmm. you know, being ridiculed, and potentially that also came from when I was at school, you know, back 4 decades ago. It wasn't common that parents were separated. And so I was the black duckling, if you like, and, I was different. And so maybe that's also has shown up in my business and in my life, where I've held myself back because I don't want to stand out because of all those fears. And I know this, again, wasn't where we were headed, but for me, and I know we did this work as well, healing that inner child part of you. And, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned about how like the ego takes over, and I'll let you explain what you mean by putting it in the passenger's seat. But that was something that, like, I did, and I still continue to do. When I feel that ego is showing up, I will, even if I'm not in the car, I'll put my hand beside me and just sort of pat and go, it's okay, I've got you, and talking to my inner child, or talking to that unhealed part of me. Because I think now, having done some of the work and also being aware, bringing that to the conscious, that you're then in a more powerful position to be able to love yourself, and maybe do give yourself the love and the acceptance that you didn't get then as a child.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you've said there, that's spot on. So it's definitely an important aspect of the inner work and the healing journey, and going back and recognizing those parts and knowing that, you know, you are all lovable and you are enough and you are deserving of everything that's on your heart's desires. And, you know, when we've been conditioned and programmed to believe otherwise, from a created sense of self, that's not even true. Mm. They're false truths that we've carried our entire life.
Mm.
You know, from preventing us from doing things that we know we truly want to do and would be capable to do. But it's true and lasting blocks, you know, and unless you go in and have a look at them and, bring them to the light, bring the darkness to the light, Okay, so I guess when someone begins to cultivate a level of self-awareness, they can begin to exercise self-control over their ego. So when we're understanding your ego, you are moment by moment noticing how your ego fears show up in your life and keep you limited, disconnected, and disempowered from your truest self and your highest potential. You're essentially gaining your inner power back as you get to witness your thoughts and your feelings and your behaviors before they take hold of you. So when we're bringing the light to the darkness, yeah, when we're bringing our true essence to our ego that's been playing out and we've suppressed and denied and hidden those parts of ourselves that we've deemed to be shameful, when they're not, they're beautiful, they just want to be loved and they're a part of us and we want to love on them and bring awareness around them and let them know that it's all okay, everything is okay. You know, you can hold them in that space and you no longer live out life on autopilot, unconscious ways of showing up, and you begin to become more, you become the observer of your ego and you witness how it wants to show up as opposed to how you choose in that moment for it to look and feel like. So this is when you were talking about wanting to put that ego self into the passenger seat. What we mean by that is we generally live out our life, 95% of it actually, on autopilot unconscious ways, which is driven from our ego mind.
Mm.
So whatever part of self we've created to keep us safe and protected in our life is the way that it controls our reality, right? We've got our ego driving the car in everything that we do. And we've got the little soul on the side, or the big soul, I should say, but it's sitting in the passenger seat with the quiet whispers. But the ego is so strong, it overrides it every single time because you don't take time to drop out of our ego and into our true essence and listen to the truth of us. You're observing your ego, you're witnessing how it wants to show up as opposed to how you choose in that moment for it to look and feel like. In doing this, you're choosing your ego to become the servant to our soul. You're putting the ego in the passenger seat. You become consciously aware and empowered in your choices. So when soul's driving the car, your true self, you're empowered in your choices. You're hearing the whispers of the ego because now they've dropped to a whisper instead of a loud voice, but you're choosing not to show up in that way anymore.
Yeah.
You're choosing a more empowered, aligned way of your truest self.
Is it as simple as a conscious choice of bringing to the light, which I love that because that's actually, you know, the tag that we have at the end of this show is what you shine a light on cannot stay hidden. And in this example with the ego, is it as simple in your experience as a soul-led coach that by choosing to dampen the voice of the ego and come from your true essence, is it really as easy as just choosing that soul over the ego?
Oh, life would be magical, wouldn't it? Ego work. Look, it's something that I find a lot of people experience is when they're confronting their ego is resistance because people aren't willing to do the work of self-reflection. It's challenging and it brings up a lot of stuff. And as humans, sometimes we don't like to look at that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to look at ourselves and think that, hey, hang on, what role have I just played in that interaction?
Yep.
So when we start to do the inner work of self-reflection, the ego is a force to be reckoned with because it doesn't want to change and it wants to keep you safe and it's telling you, hang on, we're heading in the unknown here. Brakes on.
Yep.
Let's just stay where we're comfortable. Let's just stay what we know how to do and what to do and who to be. So basically when you're understanding the ego and you know what your automatic reactions are when your ego is coming out to play, when we understand ourselves on a deeper level and you're aware of your ego, you are more conscious in your response, not reactive. And that's a really empowering place to be because you can choose moment by moment how you wish to show up, how you wish to feel, and how you wish to behave in a situation or an interaction with others. not come from an automatic reaction response from ego. Another really beautiful thing to look at is a bigger awareness around this is knowing that nothing has meaning other than the meaning we give it. And that is one of my all-time favorite statements, because we tell ourselves so many stories based from our ego. That loud egoic voice will just take over, and we haven't taken a moment to realize that we hold the power to actually change the story at any given time.
Yep.
We've never sat and self-inquired and questioned our ego. So let's get curious. Let's self-explore. Let's self-inquire. Get really intimate with the ego. Look at how it shows up and how it holds you back. And, you know, maybe that's something that we can share with the audience, is some different tools and practices how to do that. So you want to get really intimate with your fears and your ego and question everything. You know, why not? Become awake and aware. Don't stay asleep in your egoic patterns that are holding you back and preventing you living a life that you really, truly love. If we do, you know, if we don't become awake and aware, just stay in your suffering. Mm. It's all in your choosing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, for me, I love that being curious, because it takes that element of judgment away and shame, like what you said. And, you know, that's, again, personally something that I've lived with really my whole life, is that is carrying that shame of the feeling, not of the abandonment as such, but of the feeling that I wasn't good enough. And so when you can remove that element of shame for whatever, you know, it has been holding you back, or has you've been feeling the ego being taken over, when you can come from it from a point of curiosity and then just being aware, taking that which can be hard as well. I absolutely don't take it lightly that, you know, you can pick up these things, especially from personal, highly emotive situations in your past. But when you can remove the emotion and just go, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? And this is how it's shown up in my life. That happened, that event happened, or I was told that, or whatever it is for you. And then now this is how it's shown up. But also then being able to consciously choose and change the storyline. Absolutely. We're all in that element. We have the power within us to change the narrative at any given point. And when you're curious as to why you might respond or react or behave in a certain situation, then that changes the narrative straight away, because you're conscious. And if you continue to choose that behavior, then it is a conscious choice, and there in itself lies either the suffering or, you know, the empowerment to do something about it. And so for me, you know, I journal, but I know not everyone is a journaler or likes to write. Are there any other techniques that people could use to pull out, you know, that curiosity?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some beautiful tools that are really easy and practical to use every day. I just wanted to backtrack on what you were just talking about, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Basically, you're so right. When we look at it, attaching a meaning to an event or an experience in our life, in our younger years, what happens with our ego, because it basically freezes that emotion in time. So you've frozen that emotion as your little eight-year-old self. When that's still frozen in our system, you basically got your mini me running your show as your adult self. So essentially, if we don't update with new information from our adult perspective of what happened at that event, you will continually live out your life from your eight-year-old self.
Well, you don't know what you don't know. And I mean, when you're 38 and then you're behaving from your eight-year-old perspective, I mean, there is a lot of differences when you're 38 and you're in a position of power in your life. When you're eight, you're not in a powerful position to be able to make choices in your own life, because you're only eight. But when you're, you know, 38 or 48, or even, you know, 28, like, you're older to be able to understand and then make that conscious choice as to whether to continue that behavior or not, or change it and change the narrative.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely right. It's a perspective shift once you gain information that you wouldn't have otherwise had at the time and reassess and see it for what was actually happening, and knowing that there was no intention behind it to make you feel unloved or unwanted or abandoned or whatever the scenario may be for yourself. It's what you created and made it mean to you. And as your adult self, when you look back on that experience as a wiser adult self, you can look and say, okay, wow, okay, that happened. And you can create a new story and you can see the higher perspective and the truth about what actually played out at that time. Mm. And as you said, you certainly have the ability and the inner power to have a perspective shift on that and start to create new pathways moving forward, and how you choose consciously to now show up, embracing all parts of yourself. Mm. And you can do that, and that's empowering.
Yeah. And so could you share any other techniques for the audience to be able to, identify and work through their aspects of their ego? You know, I mentioned journaling, but not everyone's a journaler. Do you have anything else that you use with your clients?
Okay, yes. Well, I'm a journaler too. Love a good journal. So I guess one of the, there's two that I would highly suggest for those that are embarking on a self-empowerment journey. And the first thing would be is to start a thought diary. Now, this may sound simple, I get it, but it's a really beautiful way to start to pay attention to your common reoccurring thoughts and to identify if there's a theme that runs throughout your most frequent thoughts. So there's so much power in writing. You know, you want to challenge your thoughts and you want to see if they're relevant, useful, empowering in the present moment or not. I really feel that a thought diary is a really great way to navigate this. It's a practice, but it gives you so much information that you wouldn't otherwise allow yourself to see. I've got a couple of questions here that your listeners might like to jot down, and they can actually just start their own thought diary.
Beautiful.
And just spend sort of, 10, 20 minutes a day doing this, and it will be really interesting to see what common thoughts play up. And in doing this, you're able to drop in to actually see, oh, wow, how does my ego actually show up? The first thing you can write out is, what is a thought I have on repeat? What is it trying to get me to believe? Such as, I don't deserve something, I'm not good enough. What if I fail? All of the egoic mind talk. How do I feel when I believe this thought? Is this one thought limiting me or expanding me? Is this thought true? And what would be more empowering thought I could think that will support me in feeling better? So this is one way to start to see how the ego has started to create these thoughts and these stories that we start telling ourselves, and you will see that majority of them are extremely disempowering and unhelpful.
Mm.
So I just find a thought diary to be a beautiful practice to drop into, and people may cringe at this at first, but it's worth giving it a go because you will definitely surprise yourself with what comes out. Another practice that I would really recommend is inner watchfulness, because we're able to catch yourself in your habits and your patterns and gain control over your thoughts and emotions and your autopilot actions. Focusing on inner watchfulness, you notice what thoughts you're constantly thinking and what words you're speaking into. And it's a practice that you can shift your energy instantly. It guards you from your automatic reactions, but it's a skill that needs to be cultivated and practiced. So what you do with the inner watchfulness is you pay attention within a, say you're having a conversation with a loved one and you're being really reactive and you know you're being reactive, and you also know that being reactive is coming from ego. So you may be angry, which is egoic behavior. I'm being angry and I'm frustrated. I'm really triggered within this conversation, okay? Or I notice that. I notice that I'm being really angry in the moment. So you're noticing the thought. What am I experiencing? Oh, I'm being reactive and I'm angry. Why am I feeling triggered in this moment is another question that you can drop into. How is this making me feel? What do I need? And how can I better respond from love right now, not my ego? Now, this all sounds a lot in one hit. And when you first start this practice, it may not be something that you can do in the present moment, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring ourselves back into the present, get out of the egoic mind into the present. Because when we're in that present state, we're in neutrality and everything is neutral. And that's where we can attach these meanings, yeah, and what we make everything mean to us.
Right.
You can just check in and say, oh, okay, that's my ego voice right now. Okay, I'm just going to acknowledge that. I'm just going to park it there. And that's a start, just to acknowledge that you know you are being reactive and you are in ego. And even in that moment, if it's a bit challenging to drop into a higher perspective or from a neutral space, you don't need to. Just witness it. Have the awareness around it. The subconscious mind doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So you just acknowledging that in the moment, that's okay. You can go back later on that night in your thought journal and you can journal out that conversation from a higher perspective, from a neutral space. And that's where you can ask that question, how can I better respond from love right now and not my ego? So if I wasn't in ego in that conversation, in that moment being really reactive, what is another way I could have responded from a higher perspective?
Beautiful.
So I really love that practice and I constantly do that to this day. It's one of my most favorite things to do. And are you willing to really, truly, truly go in and excavate every single part of yourself and understand and love and cherish without judgment and just truly trust and love yourself enough that, yeah, you're perfect just as you are?
It's not listening to the voice, but it's being aware. It's being mindful, like you said, of in that moment being present, but then and just being aware of what is louder or what is talking to you. And correct me if I'm wrong, most of us, all we hear is the ego.
Yeah, correct. That's right. So the ego is the loudest voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We rarely take time to drop from our head to our heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's within the work and that's within the practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, majority of time when people embark on this, as we said before, it's a resistance to allowing yourself to go there and take radical responsibility and ownership for your part that you've played in your life and the way that you've shown up. So
100%, 100%. Yeah. And so Cherie, if anyone wants to find you, where can they find you on socials or through your website if they want to learn more about the work that you do?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm just basically on Instagram. So just my Instagram handle @soul_empowerment_coach. Yeah, so reach out.
Excellent. So @soul_empowerment_coach. And guys, look, I do highly recommend that if you feel that something's blocking you, and even if you're not aware of what that actually is, you know, doing the inner work is so deeply rewarding. It is scary as hell, I will not lie. And I'm sure Cherie, you will agree that it is a journey. It's not a one and done. It is continuing to peel the layers and dig deeper. And as you said, excavate and do the work. But on the other side of it, it is so damn rewarding because you are truly, wholly and authentically stepping into your truth, into who you are meant to be, with no bars hold, with nothing holding you back. And that is absolutely who we are all meant to be. We're meant to have everything that we desire because that is our truth and that is where we're coming from in that soul-led path. So thank you so much, Cherie.
I'll just add, if you have, you know, if your listeners are struggling to navigate their ego or this is new to them and they're looking at, you know, embarking on this inner work, I would just say, firstly, congratulations for even becoming aware of your ego.
Yeah.
You know, that's empowering itself, and you're in the 1% of the population that choose to dive deep into the world of, you know, the inner landscape of your own thoughts and emotions. So just stay consistent and be patient and kind to yourself. And I always say, you know, it's your journey, it's your time, it's your way, and just stay focused. And honestly, if you are striving for more, the inner work and, you know, becoming consciously aware of your egoic ways will be the catalyst for your growth. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Beautiful. Well, thank you again for joining us here. It has been absolutely the greatest pleasure. I'm so, so honored to have you on as our first guest. And guys, don't forget, if you do want to reach out to Cherie, it is at soul_empowerment_coach. And if, as always, I will leave today as we do every day, every episode. And I think that this is even more powerful after today's episode. And that is, what you shine a light on cannot stay hidden. Until next time, go and make a great day. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Next Level You. If you loved and found value in today's episode, be sure to share it with me so I can continue delivering valuable content and inspire more listeners. And if you haven't connected with me on social media, come and join me on Instagram, where you can find extra doses of inspiration at The Jamie Lang, or visiting my website at jamielang.com. That's spelled J-A-I-M-E-L-A-I-N-G. Your support means the world to me, and I'm so grateful for you all. Until next time, remember to embrace the journey to become the next level you.